Snack Bar Games Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 223. I am Andrew, not Graham, but he's still here.
Yes.
He is still here, as always, and I'm also joined by Sean, Grant, and Jeff. And this week is, we're going to talk about Mass Effect 3. It's all Mass Effect 3 all the time here. But we will resume the regular podcast next week. We just wanted to do a special episode because right. Mass Effect 3 is such a big deal and, you know...
It has consumed my week, I know.
I finished it, so it's 34 hours, I think it was, so yeah. That was my week right there. basically just Mass Effect 3 today. I just want to start out by saying, let's give general first impressions of, I'd say, like, the intro of the game. Like, going into this... We all had maybe different expectations of what to expect, but I mean, I didn't play the demo, so the intro was just basically what the demo was, right?
Right.
So for those who played the demo, I guess you kind of understood that going in, maybe. But like, after the first sequence, the basically tutorial sequence, how did you feel about the direction the game was going, and did you think that it was going to go the way you wanted it to, or
right.
Like, general impression so far.
I'll go ahead and start. The thing is, with that first level, that was the demo level. And heck, that was the level that Sean and I saw last summer. It's kind of been what Mass Effect 3 was to us for a while. Getting into the game, that mission on Mars notwithstanding, it's kind of the least representative part of the game, just in all ways. That it's a tutorial, uh-huh. And two, it focuses on. I think it's mainly that it's the tutorial, and as such, they do things that don't make sense. Like, I guess there's a portion of this bridge that isn't here because we need to teach you to jump. In like a place that it doesn't, like, there's no other destruction, there's just not a portion of a bridge, really kind of awkward stuff. And I really do think the worst mission in the entire game is that Mars mission, because especially the chase sequence,
you were saying you had some trouble with that.
Well, just because to me, one of the worst things about Mass Effect 3 is that, like, you'll get, like, it's kind of a lock on into cover. When you really, like, you're running and you don't, clearly there's no reason you'd want to be in cover when you're chasing someone, but that,
and there are instances where you have to leap over cover, so you have to get in cover, and sometimes
right.
you don't leap over it right away the way you want to, so,
right.
yeah.
And that's fine in the context of, shooting things. When it's just running, it was a little weird. But getting past that really got me back to what I liked about Mass Effect 2, for the most part, is that, mm-hmm. one, there's this freedom... And two, it's a lot more story sequences, and I get that they wanted to open with a bang, but it honestly wasn't a great intro. I don't know about you guys.
Well, I'll just say that I it's for like the actual intro, like the opening cutscene itself. I thought that was great. It's like, yeah, this things are getting real. We have a lot of work to do in this game, and some crazy crap is going to go down here.
Yeah.
But, like, I agree. The tutorial stuff was a bit awkward, and that chase sequence wasn't great, but I think it did a decent enough job to open the mechanics to people who may not have played Mass
sure.
Effect before.
Yeah.
Although, if you're playing Mass Effect 3 and you've never played Mass Effect before, you're not going to get much out of the experience.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, that's a really stupid thing to do. So,
I think that's a good thing to get out of the way first, is that while there are definitely elements in which Mass Effect 3 improves on Mass Effect 2, mm-hmm. Some would argue that there are some that it kind of hurts a bit, but generally, it's not a big enough step up for you to start with 3. there are some series, like, well, especially from 1 to 2, where you're like, all right, just start with 2, because it's better. Don't start with 3. Start with 2. Or 1, if you want the full story. But don't start with 3. There's no reason.
Exactly. And I will confirm that that is the only chase sequence like that in the entire game. So you don't have to worry about that. It was very awkward looking back on it. Like, when I first did it, I didn't mind it as much. But, like, it really didn't make any sense. It should have just had it be, like, a fight. And then have her run away, and then you go outside, and then you have another fight, and then just ends. But go ahead. Yeah.
The biggest problem with that, it isn't really the chase scene itself; it's the controls. Your run button is the same button as your jump into cover button. So every time you go by a corner, you get stuck to it, and you end up in cover when you don't want to be.
Yeah, that can be frustrating. Anyone else have anything to say about the intro? Or just the general first impressions of that first couple sections of the game?
Okay, well, this is something I haven't been able to get over yet. And it's just something completely just silly. And it's just like the first thing I noticed when I booted up, other than, you know, it's really cool. Like, the intro sequence was pretty cool from a cinematic standpoint. From a gameplay standpoint, I totally agree. But I couldn't get over how Commander Shepard runs. And it's just, you run like a gorilla.
You know, I never would have noticed, but then you mentioned it to me from based on your impressions of the demo, and I was like, I'm gonna pay attention to this now, and you're kind
of
right.
Yeah, like if you saw Tim Burton's version of Planet of the Apes, she/he, they run like the monkey people in that.
I can see what you mean. Yeah,
and then it's just kind of have that hunched over position, and it just looks kind of silly. Maybe it makes sense for like tactical decisions, but I just think it looks goofy.
anything else before I move on?
I was very glad that I went ahead and played all the DLC from Mass Effect 2, because it assumes that all that happened, whether you actually did it or not.
Oh, especially like the arrival?
Yes. Yeah. Especially the arrival. I mean, they talk about why you're in prison to start out the game, and you're like, well, I don't remember that. I just killed the collectors.
Yeah, it is awkward for anyone who kind of missed. Like, I never played it, but I heard that it was kind of the way it connected to Mass Effect 3 was kind of important. So I ended up just watching a playthrough on YouTube because I didn't have any spare Microsoft points at the time. I was just like, whatever. I'll just see what happens and, you know, watch it. It's as a piece of content. I've heard it wasn't that great, but it's a shame that there wasn't some kind of, you know, opening thing that explains why Shepard doesn't have the Normandy, why he's not Commander Shepard at that moment in the beginning of the game, you know, but it slowly gets explained as you play, so it's not that big of a deal. It's just kind of a bit of a weird start.
Right. I think there were really two of those pieces of DLC that they integrated in such a huge story way.
The Shadow Broker is the other one, right?
Yeah, Shadow Broker and Arrival. But every other one, it was, you know, you'll see this character if you had this DLC. Mm-hmm. At some point, and then it'll probably give you 25 Galaxy at War points or whatever.
Yeah.
But those, it just like, yeah. Like, for example, I didn't play Shadow Broker, but then you get in there, and Liara is the Shadow Broker.
Yep.
And, yep, I mean, you're just supposed to know that. It's like, you know, as the Shadow Broker, like, okay, you're the Shadow Broker.
I that's the one DLC for Mass Effect 2 I did play, besides the Zaid stuff, because that came with the new copies of the game. But
I heard good things about it, but it's just
that is the best one, I think, of the bunch. But it is weird for those who never played the DLC. But I mean, it would have been. I mean, I'm sure if there's a codex explaining it, but I only just kind of skimmed those. I never actually read them that in depth. So. But it's a shame that they didn't explain some of that stuff better, but, yeah.
I read every single one just like I read every single book in Skyrim.
This is why you are not done.
Yeah, I'm at 38 hours. And I'm about halfway.
Oh, man.
Wow. This is. Okay. I'm going to say most people who have completed it haven't taken more than 35 hours. So yeah,
I was going to say, you're gonna be I'm close at 30 to hours, and I don't...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe 60? I mean, 38 hours, and I... Yeah, you're not. Oh gosh.
Yeah, you just picked up a whole bulk of new side quests. There's a whole lot of different scanning to do now.
Well, you know, you're getting your money's worth.
Yeah,
it's all right.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I played 80 hours of Oblivion and never got anywhere near the end of that either.
Or the beginning.
That's true. I didn't. I never actually went to the stables. I left Oblivion. The sewers and went off and joined all the guilds.
That's a common thing. That's a common thing in Elder Scrolls games. Kind of just when you, as soon as you get freedom, most people, a lot of people, just kind of like, oh, the main quest is over there. Okay, well, I'm going to go in the complete opposite direction. Thank you.
I'm sure it is, but I'm sure at some point in the first 80 hours, someone, everyone probably did the first mission.
Yeah, maybe.
Besides me.
there is a lot of content to that game, but it's cool. It's cool that that you're taking your time with it, because I mean, I didn't feel like I rushed it, but again, I guess I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I didn't feel like I rushed the game, but I finished it at about 33, maybe 34 hours, I think, my final playtime was, and I did everything. I made sure I got the best ending. I mean, I played multiplayer too. That was maybe a couple of extra hours on top of that, but it went by super fast. It seems a lot shorter than Mass Effect 2 was, but at the same time, it's way more structured, I think. It's not like there's no loyalty missions. You have loyalty conversations. I heard someone describe them as, which is fine, because, you know, you're kind of loyal with everyone at this point. If they're on the Normandy, you know them well enough, so.
Yeah.
But let's dive into the story itself. We're gonna avoid spoilers, obviously. No spoilers here, but we are gonna talk about some things that happen. Like, we've already talked about the intro stuff, so there will be some, I guess, kind of spoilers. Like, if you've never played Mass Effect, if you still haven't played Mass Effect 3 and you're listening to this, maybe don't listen, but it's not going to be anything super major. So,
well, we're definitely going to spoil Mass Effect 2. We're going to spoil the heck out of that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, generally, I think we all agree, everyone should go play Mass Effect 2, no matter who you are. You should have done that already, but yeah. As reward, you have this nice podcast to listen to at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If you haven't played Mass Effect 2, stop listening and go play it.
Go. Right now. Just stop.
Exactly. Because even if you like it, it won't mean anything near as much if you don't play Mass Effect 2.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
But so this story, is it just me or is this the Liara show?
I'm getting that vibe too.
She is a big focus of this game. But to be fair, she was kind of not a focus at all in Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
And she was one of my favorite characters from the first game, so I'm okay with this.
I assume she would be, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did feel like that in the second game, because they definitely pulled her out, like, kept her in the game just enough, but I think probably in the design process, they're like, all right, if we're going to let everyone die, we need Liara to be alive in the third one.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's probably a big thing when they're going into it. It's like, okay, this character needs to be alive in the third game no matter what, so we need to pull her to the sidelines in the second game. Because, she plays a huge role in the third. Yeah.
And she's literally the only crew member who has to be alive by the end of the third one.
Yeah, she's not.
Or by the end of the second one, rather.
Yeah, I was going to say. Everyone
else can be dead.
No, there's also Caden / Ashley.
Well, yeah, but one of them can die.
Yeah.
And there's no guarantee which one it is.
Yeah.
There has to be, one of them has to survive, I think, so.
Yeah. Cole, they're not really, they're only in one scene in Mass Effect 2, anyway. They're kind of just like, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You join Cerberus. How dare you? Okay, bye.
By the way, that was lame.
What?
Yeah, that was lame.
Oh, that scene?
I mean, just not having, like, at least, like, two or three scenes where you run into them, and that get, like, how big of a, you know, a part they played in the original Mass Effect, having them just basically not be in Mass Effect 2. I think probably, like, they were about to go gold, and there was like, wait! We didn't put Caden and Ashley in the game! All right, guys. Well, we're staying late tonight. And...
In defense of that, I think their distrust of Cerberus in general kind of justifies them not being a huge part of the game, because
it's cool
that you run into them, but like I like that they focused on new characters in Mass Effect 2.
No, I get that. It just feels, I mean, like just one step up above a motion comic just to get them in there, you know.
Codex
entry. Let's put a codex entry in there and just call it a day.
All right.
But yeah, no, It's interesting how they treated them in 3, though, because, I mean, they're not nearly as much of a central part of the story as Liara is. I think they still wanted to keep the work small because they had to put it to Caden or Ashley, so it's like, I don't know, they're not even a central crew member in this game.
Yeah, essentially, they kind of again sit on the sidelines. Of course, you can actually talk to them, you know, throughout most of the game, but like they rarely play a central role. But
yeah.
You know, again, I was honestly never a huge fan of either character. I mean, between the two, I went with Ashley, but both characters never really struck me as particularly exciting.
Yeah, you're right. I saved Ashley too, but it was largely because I was using a Sentinel, so I was Caden.
Yeah.
as such, needed, you know, I had to use, in the original game, I had to use Ashley and Garrus because I needed people to actually shoot someone.
Yeah.
What, no Rex and Garrus?
Sometimes Rex and Garrus, but I don't know. I felt like I used Concussive Shot a lot, so it was, and Ashley was more of a pure soldier than Rex, so it was Ashley and Garrus or Ashley and Rex, depending on the situation. But
plus Garrus
is great.
Oh yeah, Garrus has been great in all three games.
Garrus is the best thing.
Yeah,
Garrus.
He has some of the best moments in Mass Effect 3 too.
He has all of the best moments in all of the games, all of them. Seriously, think back to Mass Effect 2, and like the most badass moment was probably, you know, him as Archangel fighting through just like one sniper in this group. But like, yeah,
it's really funny because there was actually a conversation that I stumbled upon in the ship where Garrus and Vega are talking, and they're talking about who did the coolest thing in combat. And then as Vega was talking, I'm just like, well, no matter what you say here, it doesn't matter because Garrus is going to one-up you every time. But it was really hilarious to see that. And to the point where Vega even realized it and he started lying, and Garrus called him out on it, and it was really funny. So,
yeah.
But I love stumbling into those interactions between the crew members.
Yeah, that was great.
I liked Vega, but basically the position of guy with guns has already been filled by Garrus.
Garrus
is completely unnecessary to my team.
Vega's essentially the Kurgan in this game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, he's the Kurgan crew member.
Some people are disappointed by the lack of a Kurgan crew member, but I like Vega. I like the first conversation we have with him. I like his nicknames. I like his dumb jokes. You know, I think he's kind of a cool member of the crew, and I think he was kind of unfairly judged before.
I think he's all right.
Plus, he likes dinosaurs, so
he does like dinosaurs.
I did not see that dialogue choice. I don't even.
That's what you get for not taking him with you.
I had to take Garrus, so Garrus.
Garrus like talks about dinosaurs too.
Right, but
that is
one of Vega's best lines, the dinosaurs line. So
yeah. Oh well. But you know what? That brings up a good point. We should probably talk about the new characters in the game. We just talked about Garrus, but
are we talking about just party members or characters in general?
Or characters in general, but just, you know, new characters in the game. Thoughts on that?
All right. I guess we could start with, we've already talked about Vega. Actually, I mean, the other new major character is a DLC character, so I don't know if ever, who here, has everyone played the DLC or at least have the DLC?
Yeah, I finished it this morning.
Okay, so do you think it's okay to talk about that? Because
it's common knowledge, I imagine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know about it, but that was unique. I purposely did not do it.
They're not major plot points.
They fill in some background, but that's it.
Oh yeah, it's an interesting background. But yeah, basically the DLC squadmate is a Prothean who you uncover once you go visit Eden Prime again. And it's a cool mission to go back to that place. And you know, it's cool to uncover this guy. But I mean, at first I really didn't like him because he's just kind of an asshole. I'm like, are all Protheans this awful?
Yes, he's like, the weak people should die.
Yeah,
well, I mean, all Protheans are now and have been for 50,000 years. Yep.
Unless they became collectors, yeah, basically.
Yeah. But no, I don't really so much like him either. I mean,
I like his weapon.
Yeah, the particle rifle is nice.
The particle rifle is amazing.
But I think taking that sort of personality allows him to basically just hole up in that room for the whole game and not really talk to people as much. So it probably made it a lot easier to just have him integrated in a few spots and then just not worry about him because he's a grumpy grump and he's in his room.
I take him on all my missions against the Reapers, though.
I did like to take him out. I fight the Reapers because his comments are kind of funny.
Yeah, and unlike Zaid, he actually does interact with everyone.
Yeah, there are a lot.
Well, they learn from their mistakes, I think, when they did Kasumi. All right, Zaid, and then Kasumi was better, and then all that stuff. So,
yeah, he's definitely a more integral part of the the team, it feels like. And I think, yeah, like his interactions, like those random conversations she'll stumble upon. There are a couple of great ones between him and like Liara and Garrus. And then when you get Tali aboard, just funny stuff. I think just him like interacting with other species and like talking about how during his cycle they were so primitive, and I don't know, stuff like that. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, he's like, what, the Solarians evolved?
I think he specifically talked about Solarians, and he was mentioning,
oh yeah,
Solarians used to lick their own eyeballs, things like that. I was like, yeah, that's great.
I'm kind of curious for you guys that saved Ashley. Does she take offense to him quite often? I could see them not getting along well.
And that kind of bothers me, even though it bothered me how xenophobic she was in the first game, it bothers me how she's not even like a bit xenophobic anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like not a little bit.
She's learned from her mistakes, maybe.
I guess, but you know, just like a little, like, okay, I'm fine with you, but like I'm not your friend. You know what I'm saying? Like just like, yeah. I don't know. A little continuity would be nice, but
yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway, I guess the last new squad member is Edie. Who?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you want to talk? I guess that's kind of spoilery, but
yeah, it's a little bit.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Should we delve into that?
I wouldn't want to spoil
that. Well, we said the name already.
Oh, basically, yeah. That's the entirety of the spoiler.
Yeah.
Edie becomes a squad member. That's the whole spoiler, basically.
Yeah.
But I do love... I thought that was really dumb at the beginning. Like, wait, what? Why? But I like what they did with the story. I was amused with what they do in like the off moments with her as a character.
Yeah, it's cool that you actually directly interact with her, you know, as opposed to in Mass Effect 2, she just kind of was the Normandy, and she wasn't bad or anything, but like
right, she's still the Normandy.
Yeah, well, yeah, but
there's not
now
those
she's actually
glowing
like,
orbs in every room.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like Admiral Hackett; he was just a disembodied voice in 2.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you see him, and I'm like, oh yes. Man, he's important. Just like when I started playing 2, I'm like, oh man, Cerberus is important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
they were just side quest things in 1.
Right, you think maybe like you'd have some sort of interaction with Hackett, like at least like just a little bit in the first game. Like I don't know, Hackett is a big deal in this game.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's basically the replacement for the elusive man who you talk to after every major mission.
Yeah,
kind of debrief with him, and then sometimes you debrief with Anderson or one of the other random characters you'll come across. But he's mostly the big general guy.
Yeah,
who you'll talk to most of the game.
I feel like Hack It Out is like the new catchphrase for this game.
That is like great. That is
hack
great.
It out.
We're just gonna hack it out.
We should just every time we make a point for the rest of the episode, we should finish up by saying hack it out.
Hack it out. Yep. Oh, it's only good if you walk away for like 5 minutes.
Just
toss your headset down and just walk away, and then come back in the middle of a conversation.
Yeah, but like that guy is always standing right next to one of those community, like always.
Yeah, you could literally like you can go back to that part of the ship and he's always there, ready to. He's like sitting there waiting. He's like, is Shepard there yet? I really got Shepard. He's like he's got nothing better to do.
Maybe he's just got one of those like fancy like newfangled Bluetooths of the future. Oh just yeah, walks around the ship.
Yeah, I think it seems like based on your encounters with the elusive man, it seems like he has one of those too. So like he'll always be in a projection no matter where he actually is.
Yeah.
He'll be like an unavailable projection of him to talk to you about something and some.
So I mean, from what I can tell, you know, the elusive man just sits in that room or stands in that room like the whole time.
Smokes and drinks all day.
Yeah. Like, you're probably right.
You never see him outside that room. He's always in that room. So whatever.
It's probably a scene where you call Hackett and he's sleeping and he's got his pajamas on in his bed.
I would so love that. That would be great.
Just a little Easter egg. There's like one specific point in the game where you call Hackett and it turns on and it just shows him sleeping. And then he wakes up. He's like, Shepard. Okay.
Hack it out.
Hack it out. He just ends it real quick. And then you call him again and he's in his normal uniform.
Oh, I'd love that, but it would be a little too ridiculous,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, probably.
Fine.
maybe in future DLC.
Yeah. You know? So, but before we move on from new characters, anybody have any thoughts on Trainer?
trainer. Oh, yes.
Like she's kind of Chambers. A big deal.
Yeah, I think I like her better than Kelly Chambers.
Good, because Kelly Chambers...
I
well, that's okay.
I didn't know that was
Am I right in saying
her.
That?
What's that?
Andrew, did you save her in 2?
Yes.
Did, are
she shows
you...
up again in the Citadel.
Yeah.
And, once. Yeah, she does, and then if... well, basically, there's a something that happens in the story that...
Yeah, I don't think you can control her fate this time.
Yeah. That's all, yeah. It's kind of, yeah, okay.
Oh, man, that's, you got me
cool.
all sad
it's cool.
now.
It's cool to see, going back to, it's just cool to see all the characters again.
Yeah.
It's a little convenient running into
I loved I Saved Chakwas, and then
oh,
you
yeah.
can just, not only, that was my favorite one, because not only can you just talk to her, but she's like, you want me back on the ship? I was like, yeah, I want you back in the ship.
Yeah, I would never want to say no to her. She's great. She's like the one character who's been with you
the whole time,
aside from Joker, who's going to be there anyway because he's Joker.
Is the
he's
man. Gonna... I still like
Joker. Pay his bills.
I didn't know that you could save Chambers or kill Chakwas.
Yeah,
in Mass Effect 2.
It all depends on like certain
how
part
long
of...
you wait. After
but you
the...
can kill Chakwas.
Yeah, yeah, Chakwas is one of those that like it. Well, I mean, if you wait a little bit, Kelly's the first one to die.
Yeah. Okay, so everyone dies if you're just, like, lazy.
Well, a lot of people do, yeah.
Everyone except, like...
Joker.
Yeah.
it's Joker. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's...
Fact, Joker's the one character in the game you can't ever kill, right?
Yeah.
Like, even in the ending where Shepard dies, Joker doesn't die.
No.
Too.
Well, you can't just have the ship entirely explode and everyone dies?
I don't know.
I was kind of expecting if Joker's the only one that lived in the third game, you just get like some awesome like armor and just go run around as the new Shepard.
Just replace him in an pilot. Atlas. Just do it.
Put him in an Atlas.
Yeah, he could pilot.
He would be indestructible there.
There you go. He should have been a party member.
Yeah, I would have rather had him instead of Edie. I'd be cool. I'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
Even though he has like a limp now.
I would bring him along everywhere for conversation.
Oh yeah, definitely. But yeah, it's really cool seeing all of the characters again, and I think all the ones that live in your game anyway. You know, it's every time I run into one of the Mass Effect 2 cast members during a specific story moment, I'm like, man, how would this play out if they didn't live in Mass Effect 2?
And right. I know
it'd be really weird to see how that like I did for example. This isn't the best example, but for Kasumi, I never played that DLC, so I didn't have Kasumi. And there's a very small side quest where she shows up. I don't know about it. Like I don't know remember which side quest it was, but
it was bugged for me.
Yeah, let me just ask you this real quick. I can tell you whether you played through that same part or not. Did you get the Hanar Drell forces?
Yeah. I did all the side quests, so I'm pretty sure I did the side quest she was supposed to show up in. But
okay.
Again, I didn't have her in my game, so she didn't show up. And it's the same for Zaid. Like, there's a side quest you do. It just seems like it's inconsequential. But then all of a sudden, hey, Zaid's there. Okay, cool.
Hey, mate.
But then there's the bigger characters where if they're dead, then I mean, this is gonna be this entire section is gonna change. But I will say I think for one example of this is I killed Rex in Mass Effect 1. I'm not ashamed of it. Sorry, but I did. And there is a Rex equivalent in Mass Effect 3. His name is Reeve. He's kind of crazy. So I'm guessing that for every one of those characters, there is a equivalent. But I can imagine for the bigger roles that being a little jarring. So I would like to do a playthrough of Mass Effect 2 and see how much I can screw up, and then just load up Mass Effect 3 and see just how different things are. But you know, maybe someday.
Yeah, I mean. Well, I mean, the thing is, Reeve replaced Rex in 2 if you didn't
have
Rex. Yeah, so that part made sense. I did notice that they put a lot less groundwork down if you had squad members killed in 2. I did notice anytime anyone talked about Morden, they usually the dialogue said, the Solarian. So, like, I'm sure there's just going to be another Solarian doctor that's there if Morden isn't there, for example.
Yeah.
And you know, then I'm trying to think of like the more obvious things where I don't know what happens
who
if you kill Garrus.
Yeah, that would be weird.
I guess maybe you just talk directly to,
Victus.
Like, yeah, the guy who's there at any given point in time. Because Garrus is usually not the only one in the room when you need to talk about Garrus. So, I don't know, maybe that's, I don't know.
It's cool to think about so many different possibilities that could happen in Mass Effect 3 because of how much your choices and decisions and actions have affected the first two games. And there is a lot of crazy stuff that can just like change because of one specific decision in Mass Effect 2, which I think is really like, again, some of the stuff I don't want to spoil. I think Graham might know about one of those specific events, but it involves the Quarians and the Geth. They are both a fairly major part of the game.
Right.
I don't think this is really spoilers or anything, but there's something that happens with them that can be changed drastically if you do something different in Mass Effect 2.
I have a feeling of what you're talking about.
It's great that those things are addressed. I think that's the biggest concern.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 2. These different choices, but.
Yeah, well, I guess the one you're talking about, and, you know, again, we're going to spoil Mass Effect 2, the decision to whether to kill or reprogram the Geth?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was one that, at the time of Mass Effect 2, they were already advertising it as, this is a big decision that will affect Mass Effect 3.
I think I made the quote-unquote right decision, but I think if you didn't make that decision, if you decided the other way around, then...
Yeah.
Yeah, things are going
to... Yeah, I mean, I liked how they did that, but, you know, I don't know if that affected the story as much as you think it did. Because I was looking into the Galaxy at War system, and this is basically... honestly, the Galaxy at War system is how they brush off a lot of the earlier choices without having to, you know, put them in some way.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
But, so, like, for example... If you reprogram the Geth instead of killing them, if you get the support of the Geth, then they have larger forces because they have more Geth because you didn't kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
things like that. But I mean, there are other things. I don't want to get the specifics. This is maybe someday we'll do a spoiler section on Mass Effect 3 to really dig into the specifics. But like there are other things that you can definitely do to mess up that scenario.
Yeah.
I honestly think I want to get everyone's opinion on this. This is probably going back to the story overall. This is kind of the biggest problem I have in Mass Effect 3, and I address it in my review. It's the way everything is kind of paced, as in the game opens, Earth is pretty much taken over in what, like less than an hour. It's ridiculous how crazy powerful the Reapers are, how big their forces are, and it seems like the galaxy is kind of being torn apart. So then after your mission on Mars, you get back in the Normandy, you know, you're reacquainted with old crew members, and they're basically sent to scan planets and do little side quests that do help, but they feel very inconsequential to the war that is happening on Earth and just in general. And it's just, this is definitely improved upon once you get later on in the game, especially near the end. I think they definitely kind of address it a little, but in the very beginning, you feel like, I'm Shepard. I'm the guy who's supposed to kind of like save everyone, right? So why am I doing this? Why do things feel so mellow?
Yeah, you know? I get that.
Yeah,
but you know, that was just Vancouver. You know, it was that was just Vancouver. Why Vancouver? How does Vancouver in 100 years become the seat of galactic military? Anyway, never mind. And Anderson is. From London, and he doesn't have an accent, but
whatever.
But you know, I think I understand what you're saying is that this sense of urgency that should be there because the Reapers are taking down Earth isn't really there. But I get that in a way because the first game, a lot of people complained when they triggered that middle of the game mission that started the countdown that would start killing people if you didn't get there.
Yeah.
And like, there wasn't really a notice for that. And like, wait, I want to play more of this game, but you're not letting me kind of thing.
I mean, I get why they did that because, you know, they want everyone to have a chance to kind of play the game at their own pace. And there was kind of no way to avoid that. But I think maybe they shouldn't have started with the invasion of Earth. I know that was kind of the big thing about Mass Effect 3 that everyone, even if you wanted to avoid spoilers, kind of knew about. That was how it was even first introduced. It's like, Earth is invaded by the Reapers. Shepard has to save Earth. So, I mean, there's no way to avoid that besides not having that happen right away, or at least making it seem like that battle is just only starting, not like when you're actually wandering around Earth in the beginning of the game, everything looks like total chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there were better ways to handle it, but I think it was handled very poorly in like the first third or maybe first half of the game. But yeah. I think things pick up big time once you get to the second half and especially near the end.
Yeah.
But what does everyone else think about that?
About the pacing?
Yeah, just the pacing in general. Like, do you kind of agree with what I'm saying here?
Well, I don't think I'm far enough in it to really be able to make a decision on that. I think the pacing's fine, but I do every little side quest, and so I can't really tell you. So everything's so spread far apart.
I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Generally, I don't really like time constraints like that.
Oh, yeah, I can understand.
Because I prefer to see as much as I can. But
you know, it's why I don't understand. Like Pikmin.
Yeah, I understand why they do it, but because they want it to feel urgent that you get back to Earth and save it. But
yeah, I know
it
you
just
guys
feels annoying to have to rush around and likely play through it again afterwards to get everything.
The one thing I didn't like, and like as you guys were talking about Mass Effect 2, was the fact that the last party member you get in that, like if you're doing everything, comes so late in the game that you just have to go straight to the end. And that definitely did not vibe well with me.
I mean, yeah, it's good that they avoided stuff like that. So then you never really run into that problem. And they very clearly state right before you get to the point of no return that Shepard, are you ready to go to the point of no return? They don't say it with those exact words, but they might kind of do. Yeah,
they just look you in the eye on the screen.
All right, at this point,
they turn.
If we start this mission, there's no going back. Because we won't be able to protect No, you don't know any of these things. It's just
it is kind of contrived, but yeah, exactly. That would have been a great moment to use the Kinect support if you had a Kinect. Just be like, Admiral, I'm ready. You know, just, that would have been like, man, I am ready for this. But they
you can
definitely
say that.
Clearly,
you can say I'm ready.
Oh, I know. I'm saying that. that would, like, if I had a Kinect, that would be the one time I would actually want to use the Kinect over just picking the option with the controller, because it'd be like, yep, I'm definitely ready. I said it. That means I'm serious about this. So, but anyway, yeah, they definitely very clearly lay out the fact that you will be going to the point of no return, and there are things you cannot do afterwards. So, they're more specific about that, which is good, because if you just got to that mission and then you couldn't return to a certain place, then, you know, that would be really disappointing. So I think they addressed that, but I think they, I don't know, just in the first third of the game especially, it just feels like they ramp things up so excessively, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm just like, yeah, I'm scanning these planets.
I mean, you know, you speak about the first third. There is, like, a mini point of no return there where any of the first act quests go away, but they don't indicate that this is when they're going to go away, which is kind of difficult.
No, actually, They go away in the fact that I don't think you can get them again.
Right.
But I think if you actually accepted them, you could still turn them in.
Nope.
No.
I've definitely turned in quests that I've gotten in the first half of the game.
There are a few, but there are
some that continue, but a lot of them disappear.
A lot of the need to go scan this thing quests and stuff like that are
or
just
give
gone.
Them something quests.
Right. Pick up this thing in a mission quests.
I guess I never ran into that problem because I tried to do the quests as soon as possible once I got them, if I could. Like some of them you don't actually get to like find the planet where you need to find the thing until like much later in the game, because they don't introduce that like they slowly introduce new galaxies to you that you can go to and scan and stuff as you progress through the story. But I guess I pretty much did every scanning and every side quest as soon as possible.
Right.
So, yeah. In particular, the one that I have that was bugged and I couldn't finish it, it disappears because the object of your investigation is gone. It was either killed or left during the event.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I don't know if you guys experienced this in the way I did, but is this game a little buggier than the first two?
Yes.
It seems like we're having problems with some of the quests.
Yeah.
I think the only problem I ran into was the game froze on me once near the end during a very, very hectic combat sequence. And aside from that, like, I didn't have any more or less problems than I did with Mass Effect 2. But
I never had any problems with the first games at all.
Yeah.
But I've had two problems with this one. One was a quest being bugged, so I couldn't continue in it.
Right.
And the other was I was on a quest and a turret became invincible.
Oh, that's not great.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah,
I was able to keep it from firing anymore, but yeah. it wouldn't die and disappear, so I couldn't finish the mission. Jeez. I had to restart the mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a couple weird ones. I've had one that was like. And this happened to my roommate, too, so that was weird, because he came to start talking to me about it. I'm like, wait, I can guess the bug you're about to say, and it was the exact same one. And it's just at one point in the game, I don't know if it's in the same spot where he encountered it, but, like, you go talk to Joker on the bridge, and you get frozen in place, and you can't move. And you save your game and load it up, and you're still stuck.
Oh, gosh.
And so I had to go back to my last autosave.
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I've had a lot of stuttering like that, where it's like, wait, did this game just freeze up? But really, it's like taking about 17 seconds before you can do anything, which is scary. I've had things where, for some reason, everything just changes to low-res textures in the middle of a cutscene, and just like, why? Why are all the Turians' faces now just blobby? I don't know.
I swear when I say I didn't run into any of these major problems. Like I said, I just had a freeze up on me once. This is kind of crazy, though.
There's a mission on the Citadel where you have to, it's like rescuing a diplomat or whatever, but you have to, like, follow him into these apartment areas, and you go to a door, and, like, I tried, like, opening the door, and it just would never open. Like, you hit it, and it's got that, like, opening thing, and it just wouldn't open, so I had to leave the Citadel completely and then come back to the Citadel.
Jeez.
That one was weird.
And of course,
I came back on my ship. Like, you want to get back on my ship? Like, yeah, sure, join back on the ship. And then she's never on the ship.
What?
People talk as if she's on the ship.
So is this still a problem? Is she just invisible?
Yeah, she's not on the ship. Like, I there's nowhere on the.
You can't see her on the map.
Immediately when I got back, she was on the ship in like that room, and then she's not anywhere on the ship anymore, ever.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess I should be lucky to have run into any of those major problems.
It's fine. I don't really care about Ashley, but it's.
The less of Ashley,
the romance with her, huh?
Now, which version are you guys playing?
360.
I'm 360 version.
360.
I got PC.
Yeah, I mean, I played the first one on 360, and you know, I still have my same Shepard with a slightly modified face.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention that. The biggest problem is the face importing bug, which a lot of people are really upset about.
I recreated my face from memory, and it was pretty close, but what I didn't realize until I got out of the character creator is I made his, like his cheeks stick out really far.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Okay.
You want to hear something really crazy?
Sure.
I tried my best to recreate myself in Mass Effect 2, and before then I did not have a beard. But when I loaded it, it was pretty close to accurate. There was a couple of things I needed to change, like the eye color was off and the hair was off.
Yeah.
But I had a beard. So it's like game people that I wanted to add a beard to my Shepard. But yeah, if anything, that problem helped me. But yeah, I still had to change a couple of things. Like I think the nose was off too, but.
Yeah, I just really found weird. That a lot of the generic people walking around, like generic Alliance soldier or like generic human refugee, they look like my character. Like it's the same guy. There's one guy, I was like, he was standing right next to the Shepard VI. I was like, are you another Shepard VI? Because you look, it's, what?
The Shepard VI is awesome. I want one of those.
I can predict what the real Shepard would say with a 7% accuracy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, so let's just go around real quick and talk, just based on specifically on the story and the writing and the character moments so far. How does everyone feel about Mass Effect 3 at the point where they are in the game? Just like general quick impressions. We'll start with Graham.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm almost done, so I'm
without spoilers, of course.
I am past the point of no return. But you know, I'm all right with it. Again, having seen that intro before this, and that was my impression of how this game was going to be, this is better than I thought it was going to be, story-wise.
I'm getting that from a lot of people, actually, yeah.
Yeah. And I like the character moments in this game. I like those a lot. I mean, even if they're just cameos and stuff like that. The overall... And the decisions are great. Like, at the end of your mission, you have probably some big, you know, horrible moral decision made. Usually in every important mission.
Yeah.
But the overall narrative, I kind of like just the wrapper kind of irks me a little bit. I definitely agree with you with the, you know, oh, great, it's blowing up. I mean, they try to justify it going through the game like, oh, it, you know, this will be the last 100 years of our existence. Like, oh, wait, really? We got 100 years? But, you know, I'm all right with it. I don't like how major decisions I made in previous games, not just the character, saving them or not saving them. That's fine. I understand that's not crucial. But, like, for example, at the end of the first game, I chose for Anderson to be on the council.
Like,
save the council, Anderson was there. And they just completely retcon it, so Udina is the counselor. And
That's resolved in a couple of the books that take place between 2 and 3.
Right, but
so you gotta read the books.
Yes,
no, I mean,
which I will do eventually.
Are the books that choose your own adventure just like the game? Because if not, they're bull crap.
Oh man, I would love that. Can I import my shepherd into the books?
Yeah. Shepherd's not in the books.
Aw.
No, yeah, I want.
It's mostly Anderson.
I want to import my results from the first book into the second book.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should just, like, pull out a sheet of paper, just rip it out from the back, and just stick it in the first one. There.
Yeah, there you go.
By Anderson. No, but I'd love for them to do that with a book in some way. Like, have, like, an e-book where you make choices. But anyway. I'm
surprised that hasn't happened yet with Mass Effect.
But, I mean, the canon is that Anderson, you know, the canon is that Udina is picked.
Yeah.
Even for those books. But I think they could have easily, instead of making sure Udina was the counselor, they could just, you know, they have that Galaxy at War system where they can just have, you know, say if you chose Anderson to be the counselor, Udina is still the ambassador, you know, and he could still take the actions that he takes in this game. You could just have the sign outside change from Earth Counselor to Earth Ambassador, and then have, you know, if you made that decision, his actions have less of an effect or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, because he doesn't have as many resources because he's not a counselor. Like, couldn't they do that? Couldn't they do that? Come on.
Yeah, or but like, would Anderson still be on Earth?
Yeah, Anderson could have stayed on Earth and just appointed Udina for 3.
Well, that's basically what he did, I think. That's basically what, I mean, I don't know if he appointed him, but that's basically what happened, because I think the justification for that is throughout, like, whenever you encounter Anderson in 2, he feels like he's not up to the task that you appointed him of having.
Yeah.
He feels more like a soldier, you know.
Sure.
He constantly talks about that.
I think that was them writing into this, like, oops, we didn't mean to let you make that decision.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Anderson was never really that kind of person. Like, he always felt like a soldier more than a politician.
And you can make decision, but just have him, say, be visiting Earth at the time and then decide to stay on it. You know what I'm saying? Done. That's it. But anyway, also, like, why is Shepard not an admiral at this point?
That's a good question.
Commander Shepard sounds cooler.
Because he's a bad man. He joined Cerberus.
Yeah, that's right.
They can't be. They can't be having someone like that admiral.
But we're fine with him saving the entire.
I know, right?
Universe while Hackett.
Also, Shepard out doesn't have the same feeling as Hackett out.
Yeah.
Just one
word. No, but honestly, I think at this point, kind of ranks don't matter. It's just like everyone is just fighting the Reapers.
But what about N7? Yeah,
sure.
That's important.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry, I don't like James Vega as much as you guys like James Vega.
Yeah, I get that. But I mean,
He likes dinosaurs.
I'm scared, but every time I see N7, I think of Earth and Beyond.
Grant, thoughts?
Me?
Yes.
Grant covered most of the ones I probably would have said, I like it. I'm liking it a lot more than I thought I was going to. Like, I'm like, I'll pick it up. I'll finish the fight, you know. I'm gonna see how this turns out. I mean, it wasn't at the top of my priority list this week, but I changed my mind.
Happy you did.
Yeah, because I had other big games coming out that I was super excited for. But
I have no idea what other big games.
I wonder what game that could be.
Was it other games with other DLC controversies?
Oh, let's not even get into that, please.
yes, next week. We
next
will be
week.
Back with an actual episode next week, and we will cover all those other games that came out that we haven't really gotten to play much of yet because we've been playing.
Yeah, don't worry, I'll have plenty to say. Anyway, I'm liking it. Like, I'm impressed. I really like 2. I went back and started playing 1 prior because I lost all my save data, so I actually just went and downloaded a file, save, and just ran with it, just the closest I could to mine. And I'm liking it. It's not a whole lot. I don't have a lot of nitpicks yet. I thought I was not gonna like Vega. I ended up liking Vega as well. Like, honestly, I think everyone just kind of saw how he looked.
Yeah.
And that's all they based it off of was, he looks like a meathead. He looks like he's just gonna be a jerk.
Yeah. To be fair, they released a screenshot. That was what they released. Like, basing it off that was.
Well, yeah, exactly. That was the same way. Basing off of that, I'm not gonna like this guy. I can tell. But when I actually
talk to him. And also, to be fair, none of the human squad mates have been super exciting. Like, they're generally, I'm okay with a lot of them, but I mean, nobody's favorite character in a Mass Effect game is a human, unless you really like your Shepard, which that's fine.
That's probably the only person that's played this game that would, like, save everyone if they could. Like, if Ashley, I could have saved Ashley, I still would have saved her. I didn't like her, but I would have saved her. Because I hear all these people like, oh, I'm glad I killed Kaden, or I'm glad I killed Rex.
Yeah.
Or, like, they'll let someone in 2 die just because they didn't like him. I'm like, man. I am never going to hang out with you in real life if this happens.
Yeah, sorry, I'm Paragon.
I had a friend that killed Jack. I'm like, just because he thought she was annoying. That's the only reason.
Jack's awesome. Dead.
But you can just ignore her.
Exactly, just ignore
her. Also, she's
her
so cool in 3. I didn't like her in 2. I like her in 3.
Yeah
me too.
Cool. I liked her in 2, though. But, I like all the character cameos. They handled a lot better than I thought they were going to. I was kind of, my feathers were in a ruffle when, you know, I kind of found out like who the squad was going to be and who was not.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But they've executed it well. Like, all the characters that don't join you but are still in the game to some capacity, they've handled most of their situations well. And they, I mean, some of them are still around. Like, you can still come and talk to some of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though they don't join you. So that's kind of cool. I thought they were just going to be like, hey, how's it going? Well, see you later.
A couple of them do that.
Yeah, a couple of them do that. I know one of them just kind of hangs out and has like one. Maybe he gets more dialogue trees later, but he's just kind of hanging out in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Keep playing.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Yes.
A lot of the old characters do have like a plot reason for not joining.
Oh yeah, they do.
For example, like Reapers are invading.
Yeah. There's pretty important things going on in the galaxy.
Yeah, and not everyone has got to grab a gun and fight, and it's understandable.
Exactly. So it's just.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm liking it overall. I'm enjoying it. I think some people are being a little overly critical of the game because it's how they assumed it would go down.
Yeah, you know, I think we should all be clear. We all really like this game.
Yeah,
it's a good game.
Yes.
We're talking about, you know, good and bad elements of this thing, but
I think it's
generally
worth
this is really
negatives.
Good. Yeah,
I think it's worth talking about the negatives because, you know, this is a big game. This is a big launch for not just for this series, but for games in general. Like, this generation of consoles has kind of been like, there have been very like franchises that have kind of defined it, and I think Mass Effect is right at the top of that list. So
it's all been leading up to this.
Yeah, it's understandable.
There's no more games after this. It's over.
Well, there's no more. Supposedly no more Shepard games.
There's no more any games. We're shutting down the site because there's nothing else to cover. Games are over.
Yeah, the end of Mass Effect 3 is the end of video games.
The Reapers destroy video games.
Maybe I should stop playing. I don't know if I should get to the end of this.
Yeah, if everyone finishes the game, then video games are over. So some people need to stop and not finish the game. So we have some more games. But, okay, so Jeff, what about you? Anything new to add?
No, I think we pretty much covered it.
And
one character I did like the return of, even though he was a minor character, was now Commander Bailey.
I'm seeing Bailey again.
Bailey's
cool.
Great. He's not garish great, but he's pretty great.
I really want, because he's an actor who's in Battlestar Galactica, so I would love a line where he says "Frackin' Reapers," but you know, I know that wouldn't happen.
Wait, was he the co-commander?
Yes, he was, God, I forgot his name. He has an eye patch in the second series. I can't remember his name all of a sudden.
I know who you're talking about. I don't remember his name either. I'm trying to remember the actor's name, but he plays Colonel Ty.
Ty.
Commander Sagat.
Michael Hogan.
Michael Hogan, yes.
Yeah. First, I don't know. I love Battlestar Galactica is my favorite TV series. So the fact that I didn't remember his name is...
I need to go.
I should watch more of the first two seasons?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. You can maybe skip the third season, but yeah.
We will... Okay, for our spinoff podcast, we'll talk about
that. No, all right. But I did bring Edie to all the Citadel missions just in case she could talk to... Talk to Bailey.
That would be great, especially considering her role. So, yeah.
Yep.
Anything to add, Sean?
I like the story. I like everything about it so far. The gripes I have had about it are relatively minor. The biggest thing, I think, to me is that, yes, you're saving the galaxy, but you're doing so in a way that pretty much every single mission has some kind of personal tie to the people behind it.
Yeah.
And so it makes everything mean a lot more.
Yeah, the entire theme of this game is, I would say, there's two themes. The other one I will talk about to people who have finished it for spoiler reasons. But I think a major theme is like uniting all of the different species in the galaxy, including the ones that hate each other, like the Krogans, the Turians, or the Krogans and the Salarians. So I think they kind of justify, you know, some of the stuff that happens, and they execute it really well. Because
I have cried twice in this game.
There are some really, really, really crazy moments in this game in terms of the plot. Yeah.
I never want to tick off a Thresher Maw ever again.
I do want. I think I've mentioned a couple of you, my favorite line in the game so far, arguably, is, now we just need a gun that shoots Thresher Maws.
Yes.
Yep. That's DLC right there.
Bring it on.
A Thresher Maw squad member. Yep.
If this was Saints Row, that would be in the game.
Yeah, if this was as crazy as Saints Row, you know.
I think it will probably be in the next Saints Row anyway.
I'll play the next Saints Row,
or just DLC for this one. Yep, just as likely to be DLC in that game as DLC.
A Thresher Maw cannon.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, I'm down with that. But I think as someone who's finished the story, I can safely say, one, in my opinion, endings not as bad as everyone made them out to be. I'm not perfectly happy with them, but I think they're okay, and I think they tie in really well with the theme of the entire series, and you know, things get really great. Like the last couple of missions are amazing. So those who have not gotten to that point yet, yeah, you got some really good stuff to look forward to. So before we end, I kind of want to touch upon the gameplay and specifically the multiplayer, because I feel like that's a huge component.
Yeah, it's so fun.
First of all, I just want to say that I think gameplay is huge. Like I like Mass Effect 2's gameplay a lot, but playing 3 is so much better. It feels tighter. Like the shooting mechanics are just more improved. The environments they put you in are much bigger, much more open.
Yeah, and it is more of a shooter.
Yeah, it is. Like, oh yeah. Like, well, yeah.
It is better if you like shooters. If you don't like shooters, it is okay. It is not worse.
But it's,
as someone who doesn't like the shooting, I play all of it, you know, bringing up the power wheel and, you know, activating three things and then waiting a couple seconds, then bringing up the power wheel and activating three things. So basically I'm playing Dragon Age Origins, but you know, hey, I like it.
And for you, it's more of an RPG, so.
Right. But like this game, what they add to it was kind of shooter things. Like, oh, there are these guys with shields, but you know, hey, if you want to snipe him through that eye hole, like, no, I don't want to snipe him through that eye hole.
Well, if you have the biotics, you can just lift
them. For me, it makes having
or
the combat drone worth it. Turns him around, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know,
the shooting stuff, like sniping the shield guys through the eye hole, that's more of a thing to worry about in the multiplayer.
Yeah.
Typically in the single player, you'll have biotics available to you, and you can find other ways around those guys that don't involve that kind of accuracy.
If you're lucky, hopefully the people you're playing with, someone has biotic powers, or someone's an engineer, because combat drones can turn them around, you can just shoot them in the back.
Yep.
Because I play an engineer, like, always.
Yeah!
from day one. I double up on engineers too, because I'm like tallying one, warden and two, double engineer power, instant iterate everywhere, but because that's the best power in the game. But yeah, it really depends on like who you're playing with. Like if you get a good team comp, it's pretty easy to roll through those 11 waves. I mean, I played with some people that were really irritating because they just headshot everything immediately, and so I got zero experience.
Yeah.
And it was really, really irritating.
I am really good at shooting people in the head. I'll just say that.
Well, everyone just brings rifles with them, and then we do Cerberus. See,
I think that's part of the effect of what is essentially a design for console game being on the PC, because I'm using PC version as well, and that sniper rifle on the PC is just so accurate.
Oh yeah.
So easy to just chain headshots.
It's so nice having hotkeys too. Like it works really well for multiplayer when you have hotkeys, because all your skills are just mapped through 1 through 8. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy to just on the fly be like, oh, this guy needs his shield taken down. Oh, this guy needs to be turned around, etc. So that's probably one downside to the console versions, I guess, for multiplayer.
But it still works.
I mean, how many you had? Because I'm trying to remember. I played the first two on Xbox. How many skills can you have mapped to your buttons?
Three. And three? In the multiplayer, you only have three.
Okay.
You know, the multiplayer, there's no power wheel or anything.
Yeah, I think I probably designed that way on purpose then. That's good.
Yeah, and that's how they have different classes, like different races with different abilities. Though I hate that, like, basically, I have to stay with the humans because they both have like the one ability I want, and then the other versions, like all the engineers, like I need combat drone, so they take the combat drone away from the other races. Like no, leave me the combat drone.
I want to be the Solarian engineer. Damn it!
No, get rid of tech armor.
I just like using Singularity and then blowing it up with warp.
I don't even know what that skill is because I'm an engineer.
Yeah. Well,
what are other skills?
It's the reason to use Liara in your party in the main game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the thing that Liara always uses.
I just choose him to be there.
Yeah, Sean is a sentinel, and I am always a sentinel. So you know, I think both of us have this thing where it's like, yep, Liara Singularity, and then we use warp or throw, and then it just blows everything up. So great.
Yeah, it's like a grenade.
It's a grenade.
It hits everyone within like four meters or so.
Right, it brings them all in one spot to make sure you hit them. Yep.
Yes.
That's great.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah, I don't even know how most of the other powers work. Like, honestly, I just ignore my team members other than when they're talking. I just choose them just to look at, and then I kill everything.
Except when fighting Banshees. Then you need them.
Yeah, I haven't fought any Banshees yet in the single player, but I can tell they're going to be annoying.
I will say that I think the squad commands are, well, they're about the same as they were in Mass Effect 2, but I feel like I have been in situations where I felt like I'm going to get overwhelmed, and my squad actually picks up the slack pretty well. So
they're fine. Yeah,
I don't think they're dumb. So I mean, there are different combinations of squad mates depending on the enemies you're fighting, but I think generally, no matter who you have in your party, you'll be A-okay for the most part.
I think the Kinect squad commands are dumb.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. I wouldn't do that. Yeah,
is that all the Kinect does? Is there like a chance to like import Garrus into Dance Central 2, and then you could just do like the mashed potato?
If only.
Oh man.
No, but the thing about the Kinect controls that really bothers me is it's entirely voice recognition. No, so why? Why you can't just use a headset, and why it's not available on other platforms.
As an example, I've been playing Binary Domain. I can use a PS3 headset and command my squad.
Yeah.
I don't understand why I can't do that on the PS3 version.
Probably because Microsoft slipped EA a little extra money. Said, hey, you know, we got this Kinect thing, you know, you want to do a little something for us?
And they're like, come on, we need this. Capcom's not giving us anything.
Like the old SOCOM games, didn't you have voice commands there?
Endwar did.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Endwar was all voice command, which was pretty cool, and that worked fine without a Kinect. So, but this is better with Kinect. So
Sure, but
the box wouldn't lie to me. I mean, come on.
Yeah, dude, it's on there in purple. It's purple. It's loud. It lets you know it's there.
Yep. But no, I mean, I don't so much mind it in the dialogue choices. Because it lets me get up and get a sandwich.
Yeah, didn't you call it
better with sandwich
mode? Yeah.
Yes. But the one thing they really should have done, and I will say they should go ahead and do it because I couldn't imagine it taking that much effort to patch it in, is allow you to voice activate the Paragon and Renegade triggers. Just say Paragon and Renegade, because like that's the one thing in those cutscenes where like you can't walk away and get a sandwich. Like, oh no, I see that on the screen, but my controller's over there at the table.
Yeah.
I just want to yell, Paragon, please, Paragon. I don't have to redo this whole segment. Paragon.
And there are some moments where if you don't hit those triggers at certain spots, things will it'll be really upset. You'll be really upset. So
yes. That happened once to me. I'm like, no.
I know that I usually go Renegade myself, but there I found myself finding moments where if I didn't go Paragon, I would be really upset with myself. So specifically the Paragon triggers that pop up. There are a couple of them where if I didn't do, I'd be like beating myself up for it.
The one thing I will say as someone who goes Paragon at every opportunity, sometimes being nice is like mistaken for being flirty.
Yeah.
Sean and I were talking about that. It's like, I want to be your friend. I you know, I'm just trying to be nice. I'm not.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Like, your family's dead. I'm not trying to hit on you right now. I'm trying to console you because your family's dead.
Yeah, I will say one thing. That was a big problem a lot of people had with Dragon Age 2, specifically with the character Anderson. Or not Anderson. Anderson. Yeah. If only Anderson was in
Dragon Age. Hey there, Hawk.
New from BioWare.
Just to have
Dragon Age Effect 3.
Anders. Anders specifically. Like, you could just end up in a romance with that character without even realizing it because of how poorly written it is.
It's just like, especially like I played that game as a mage, and I'm like, he's always talking about, you know, we mages should get more respect. So I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, I can sympathize with your plight as a fellow mage. You're like, no, I'm not. No, I'm just trying. I'm being
poor,
nice.
Poor Anders.
But yeah, I think they avoided a lot of that with Cortez in this game, and that's, you know, I guess the analog in this.
Yeah,
Cortez. That's where I noticed it in particular.
Though they do just get to a point where they're like, I love the dialogue choices where it's just flat out like, no, seriously, I'm not interested in you. it's like it's subtle if it continues, but then like you have to be like, no, man. Like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
I had that event in a bar.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like...
Have you seen the way Shepard...
I had that issue in one. I'm playing the female Shepard just for a different perspective, and like somehow I ended up with Caden. I'm like, that's not what I wanted. What the hell? I'm like, all I did was say he's a nice guy, and then all of a sudden this is like, hey, Shepard, how's it going?
Oh, man.
So I quashed that in 3. It's done. It's over. But.
Yeah, that is the thing. I had a couple issues with that with Ashley in 3, because it's just do you still hate me? Like, no, I don't. that doesn't mean I want to be in a relationship with you. I'm just saying that I'm not offended that you left me, you know, and didn't talk to me while I was working for Cerberus. Like,
that's what Caden does too.
Yeah, it's just like no. I'm fine with it. I'm still okay with you as a human being. There's not that option there. Like I'm nice, but I'm not like. Anyway,
I knew that I'm totally hanging out with Garrus after hours, and so the Garrus romance is great in 2, and it's great in 3 too. So, because I decided to, you know, knock boots with Garrus in 2. And so, in 3, it's just like, he's like, so, you still like my scar? And he's like, I could get some more if you want.
Oh, man.
I miss my scar because I had a scar in 1 and I took it out for 2 and 3 because of that stupid, like, renegades are the only ones with scars.
Yeah.
I think scars are sexy.
If you don't romance Garrus in Mass Effect 3, there is an awkward moment you will walk in on during right before the final mission. I'm just gonna say that. It's very hilarious too.
Does it involve calibrations?
It's in that room. I will say that
too. But yeah, if you haven't seen the Garrus romance, you should do yourself a favor and go watch the Mass Effect 2 romance stuff.
I'm not sure if I want to see that, but okay.
Well, you know,
I'm not saying the actual scene, but like all the conversations.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, that brings up an interesting point, I think, that, like, since, you know, I'm playing as a male Shepard, Like, there is a version of, like, talking to Garrus this whole time that is not, that is not a romance way of thinking. Like, I wish that would be true with, you know, the possible romance options, that you could just kind of pick an easy dialogue option in the beginning of the game that would let you just be like, all right, I'm friends with, you know, I'm friends with Tali kind of stuff. Like,
but that would feel a little weird. Just like, you check these boxes to see who you want to be friends with and who you want.
Well, I mean, not like a checkbox thing, but just like an early dialogue option where you can just kind of indicate, you know,
or at the very least, like,
I want to be your friend, and then just have, like, the, you know, be good friends on this mission kind of stuff.
A second paragon option that is the I want to be more than friends with you romance option, or the I just want to be friends paragon option. You know?
Right.
Like, highlight it in pink or something.
All the options all the options should be paragon options, and I'll just have six paragon options. This will make me really happy.
There you go.
No, but I have to, like I said, I went renegade, but I will have to admit, like, I found myself making a lot of, like, I couldn't, there were certain decisions in this game where I felt like, man, if I went renegade on this, I would feel like a jerk, and I never felt that way about Mass Effect 1 and 2, but at the same time, I feel like there are certain situations where not going renegade didn't make any sense, because sometimes you gotta smack sense in some of these guys who are just like, I don't want to fight with you because of this reason, you know, I felt so good going renegade during those moments.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't do it.
I can't either. I couldn't even punch the reporter.
Guys,
I tried doing a full renegade through. I couldn't do it for more than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh man, this is making me feel like an awful person.
I was sitting there. I was gonna punch the reporter. I was gonna do it, but I realized I support freedom of the press. So
you should have.
Oh, but yeah, I will say
I gained her support. So Galaxy's safer.
Can you punch Diana Allers?
If only.
speaking of character support,
you can have access. I'm just gonna punch you because you're. Let's talk about characters we hate. I hate Diana.
Oh, she's so monotone.
I don't really know.
She keeps on flirting with me.
She's a horrible voice actor too. Like, it's.
I just want to tell her no. I'm Tally's.
Yeah, just like Jessica Chobot's not a voice actor at all.
Yeah. Like, why is she in this game? Like, you could get someone who's an actual, like, they could pay a legitimate reporter to be in this game. You know what I'm saying? If they wanted something authentic.
Yeah.
But like. Yeah. But she doesn't sound like a reporter. She doesn't sound like she cares.
She looks creepy. Like, I'm not.
She does look creepy.
Pretty creepy.
Novels, but she is so creepy looking.
Yep.
Terrible.
Jessica Chobot, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
I'm not. You got to be in this game without having the talent to do it. And you probably know
you just hired
you're
voice
not
actor.
Qualified. Like, you probably know you weren't qualified for this position, and you're glad to be there. So, you know what? Whatever. But yeah, I had to keep her on the ship because I have to, you know, give press access. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's like the people should know things and she's helpful. I just don't like her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I was gonna say, punching the reporter is something that is kind of a tradition in the series. And even if I went third on, that's like the one thing I would want to do as a renegade.
I've never laid a hand on her.
Yeah, me either.
The one in three is so good too. It's.
I feel like the save I did in port though did punch her because she seemed kind of like she was ready for it. In three. I'm not gonna do that.
I mean, it's so early that it's not really a spoiler, but I, at the same time, I don't want to spoil what happens when you go to punch her. And
yeah, I've seen this part.
Let's
I don't
go
want
look
to
at
either.
It.
I would recommend.
It's so great.
A video.
It's so good though.
Yeah,
I didn't punch her in the first one, but I did this time.
Do you like 360 pile driver like Zangief?
No.
Like, listen, that's enough out of you.
Falcon puncher.
Yeah. Let her fly out the window. That's fine.
Yep.
Throw her like you throw Moogles in Final Fantasy 13 too.
Yeah, just climb to the top of Augustus Tower or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
I'd be okay with that.
I just wish I had a doubt option in this game. Like, no, I don't think. No,
you say you want to save the galaxy, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't believe you.
My name is Shepard Phelps. You're lying.
See, Hackett, you say you're out, but I'm pretty sure you're standing right next to that, just watching me and listening.
Yeah.
if I step here, you know I'm there. You are still Hackett in. I doubt you're Hackett out.
There should be a. There should, speaking of going back to the Kinect, there should have been a Admiral Hackett minigame where you just say Hackett out. just a section where every single part where you talk to Hackett, you're actually playing as Hackett, and then you just get to say Hackett out. I would do
it. Yeah. If that could be the command for ending a conversation.
Oh yeah, just end, yeah, ending a conversation. Yeah. Even if you are a Commander Shepard, you just say Hackett out.
Yep. These are great ideas. I feel like BioWare. Come on.
I hope BioWare is listening, because you know what?
I'd buy Hackett out DLC.
Yeah.
He should be a party member, really. And that's all he says. That'd be great. If I could, all his dialogue with members, they like to talk to him, and all he goes is hack it out.
Or I don't just talk to you. End every sentence with hack it out.
Yes.
Hack it out. And it's standing right next to you.
Eat the romance options. Just.
I cannot condone these renegade options. Hack it out.
Oh, man. I will say I was happy that Anderson was in your party at the very beginning.
Yeah, that was kind of neat.
Cool. It was just like, yeah, finally.
He's pretty spry for an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I can kick some ass.
I also like how he bosses you around.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've probably talked a lot about this, but one thing I do want to say before we finish things up is they talk about you should keep your save in case, you know, for some future project, and this is the end of the Shepard trilogy, but there are so many things that can change, especially I can tell a lot of these things in this game can just really change the face of the universe.
Yeah.
Could they really do a sequel to this game? Like, right. I could see a prequel. I could see, you know.
Yeah, a prequel would be cool. A prequel to Mass Effect 1 would be cool. Or you know what?
You could be Hackett. Done.
I would love another DLC pack that allows you to play as Protheans. And
cover the Prothean War.
That'd be cool. I'd play that. But I mean, I'm just going to say, based on the ending, I will say that it'll be really interesting to see how they handle a future Mass Effect game, because, oh man.
I'll go ahead and say it now. I'm probably... They are going to pick a canon ending for Mass Effect 3, that there will be small things that will change, but any big ending, there will be like, here is the one that happened in this new trilogy.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
Or Zelda's done it. Zelda's done the, oh, if you did this, then this is this reality. So, sure.
Or they just sell three separate versions of the next Mass Effect game, depending on which ending.
Right, yep.
There you go.
red, blue, and green.
Yeah.
What are the green options? So red is Renegade, and blue is Paragon. What's green? Mr. Neutral Nancy?
Yeah, neutral.
Yep.
But I will say, like, one thing I was concerned about was, like, how are they going to handle DLC? Because, obviously they're just going to have it go back to before the point of no return, which when you finish the game, the save just loads up back to before the point of no return.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there is a new game plus.
There's a new game plus also. But, I mean, like, if you want to keep playing, like, if you miss some side quests and you want to see maybe some other different things that could happen based on your galactic ready, or not galactic readiness, but your effective military strength and stuff like that, you know, it loads you back to that point. But there is this thing that happens after the credits that I am not sure how to feel about. This has been like 2 days after I finished. I'm still not sure. It's kind of gross the way they do it, but it's a way for them to justify the DLC for Mass Effect 3. And it's very weird. And it feels less of like, this is something BioWare wrote, and more like, this is something EA told BioWare to put in the game.
But probably.
Again, this is something that I'll have to talk about with you guys when you actually finish it. But
so, Gun Club?
That's it.
I'll probably beat it in another 40 hours.
I need my Volus party member. I've been waiting for that since 1.
I want my Elcor party member.
Yeah.
Volus could just run around with a jetpack.
I want a Hanar.
Shoot
Hanar
over cover.
Party member.
Yeah, I'll do
Elasto.
Speaking of Elcor and Hanar, did you guys see the ad for a action movie?
Yeah.
On the Citadel?
Yes.
Where the heroes are an Elcor and a Hanar.
Yeah, Blasto 6. Partisan crime.
Elcor Vanguard, make it happen, BioWare.
There are so many audio clips over there. Like, how long did people just go in the studio and just write these little like pieces of this movie? I feel like they wrote the entire movie and just like...
where do you hear that? I haven't heard any of the movie stuff yet.
I think you may have to talk to someone first, but when you do, you go over to that poster up in the apartments. Or wait, it's in the embassy. It's embassy. Yeah. Yeah. And you just walk in the middle and you like hit A on it and it'll start playing Start playing. Sweet. Yeah.
That's a good bet.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a missed opportunity for multiplayer, too. You could have had, like, the Hanar Blasto be one of the soldiers.
There's still time.
Yeah.
I am excited to see, just in general, to see where they go with the Mass Effect series, because there is so much to this universe. Like, every time I stump, for the scanning for both in Mass Effect 2 and 3, every time I read about a new planet that you just kind of, you can just kind of read about and kind of fly to, but you can't really think about it, like, man, it'd be cool to land on this planet, because it sounds like some interesting stuff happened here, you know? There was just so many different races, so many different characters, and even though some crazy stuff is at the end of Mass Effect 3, you know, it'd be interesting to see where they, how far they could take, because this is like, this universe is like Star Wars huge at this point.
That's true. I'd love to see them not go back to the Perthians, but go back to that race right before the Perthians.
Oh yeah, the ones they talk about for like a second.
Yeah.
Awesome. There are so many races. Now that I think about it, when you talk to your Javik, he mentions like 10 different races that were around his time. I'm just like, man, it'd be cool to see those guys too.
It's just have
like
Mass Effect and Shepard.
But then we would be completing the Star Wars analogy, and they'll make a prequel series.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. I trust BioWare's authors more than Lucas.
So would we have like a Jar Jar Binks character in the first?
Oh yeah. That'd be one of the races that the Protheans made extinct.
Yeah, I hope so.
One of the ones.
Yeah.
But one of the old races actually is the Star Wars universe, right before the Protheans. It's those guys. Then it's the same thing. Done.
You just connected.
Star Wars was a long time ago.
Give me my check. Galaxy
far, far away. Yeah, but connecting Star Wars and Mass Effect makes me sick to my stomach. So I'm gonna.
Yeah, let's not tread that territory.
Let's end this podcast.
Okay.
All right. So, thanks everyone for talking about Mass Effect with me. Mass Effect 3. We've all seemed to be enjoying it so far. So for Graham, Grant, Jeff, and Sean, I'm Andrew. Talk to you guys next time.
Hack it out.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.